All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday afternoon, the last Sunday in March. We have 2 days until we go into spiritual warfare. In our 3 days of fasting and praying, we're encouraging everybody to sign up. Go on our website at goem.us and sign up. We need this now more than ever, because the deception out there is so terrible. And you can see it how, you know, just the regular people are just so blinded. And as I've been showing on Patreon, the increase in anti-Semitism is increasing. I don't know about Canada, Bruce and Ardina, I don't know about Canada, but here in the United States, they have put up signs in not all, but a lot of the major cities, where they are campaigning against anti-Semitism. Sorry, had to blow my nose. Okay. But not only that, I haven't been able to show you guys this, but there is a major, major pastor that is one of the biggest ones in NAR that is now starting a campaign to convince people. He's talking all Noahide. I'm going to show you guys. And he's talking to people about how to turn in people, and even giving them examples of how to set them up and to find out who their circle of influence people are. I mean, just diabolical. Supposed to be a pastor, but diabolical. And but I'm going to show it to you guys, because what they're doing is, and if, you know, the beast has the main church, the main one that has all the TV stations and stuff in Christendom, preparing them, not just the beast, but the false, you know, the one world church. If he's preparing them to up the ante, to begin focusing their efforts on anti-Semitism, it's game on to the real church. This is underground city type of deal. So we've got to pray, people, because the Lord, he is our only refuge. He is, I don't care where we're living, no one is hidden in this scenario, in this end time deal. Everyone is, you know, the same here, because of technology. So we have to have the Lord's covering over us, just like the gourd that for the prophet that come up out of the ground and gave shade to the prophet is how we are. And prayer is that shade. When we come together in corporate prayer, fasting and prayer, it's also powerful by numbers. We're coming together. We really should do this more often. Coming together in one mind and one accord. There's power when we do that. Remember the scripture that says, one cast 1,000 to flight, two cast 10,000 to flight. So when we can come together in corporate unity, we call it corporate just because it means, you know, the masses. But when we can come together in corporate unity and we can pray, we can plow the heavens, you know, put our voice out in the atmosphere, you know, in a total unity of God's church, you know. I've been teaching you guys, and, you know, anybody that listened to me, that the days of exposing all these preachers, because all the stuff they're doing, unless it has to do with things like what I'm telling you, I'm done with that. I mean, these people are already corrupt. They're going to do what they're going to do. There's no use of focusing on nobody's doing it right. Nobody's doing it right because yada yada. Well, do it right. Show them. And this is what our ministry is doing, is training you guys up to show everyone how it should be, you know? And we need to recognize that we are valid here in this end time scenario. We were chosen for such a time as this. If not us, who? And if not now, when? You know? So these fasting and praying events is to align us up in the proper alignment for God to use us. That is our heart's desire. We would not be together, people. We would not be together if we didn't really love the Lord. And going through the separation, the persecution, the rejection, and the things that we're all, every single one on this call this morning is going through this. If it wasn't for our love of the Lord and wanting to honor Him with our temple and honor Him with our life, we wouldn't be going through this. So when we come together starting Tuesday, it's going to be wartime game on. We are in one mind, one accord, in unison. Okay, Lord, all these people out here are going to do and be what all them are going to do and be. But we're coming together as your end time army, and we're saying, yes, Lord, come on now. We're putting on our priestly garments. We learned about the armor of God, didn't we? And the priestly garments. We're putting these on for battle. We are going forward. We are asking you, God, to equip us. We're asking you to give us what we need. We're asking you to, you know, bring that army. Remember that dream that God gave me about the army being with me? That's what we're asking God. Bring that army. You know, we know it's game time. I mean, our government's already said they're going all digital, stopping all cash payments beginning in September. So it is truly game on for the church and the way that they're switching over the economy. I mean, there's a lot going on in 2025. We need Jesus. So this morning, before I start worship, I am going to read you guys some scriptures. I think that's all the announcements I have of the ministry. Well, another is I'm getting real internet tomorrow. I'm so happy about it because I have waited 6 months. Remember, I left that other office that had the good internet, and it's been 6 months since then. So, I'm really happy to finally be getting new internet. We did order a EMF house protector. It covers 2,000 square foot. It was only $85. And so we're really happy about that. And so we've got our house ready for it. And you know, I'll be able to do a, we may be going back to having church on YouTube live. I mean, there's a lot of things we're considering, you know, now that we will have the power to be able to go live, you'll be able to see me again. You know, I won't be all grainy. So anyways, that's tomorrow. And I'm very happy about it because for the first time, the Bible college students, we will be able to do, what is that called, Denise and Carla? I can't think of that. That will be, oh, Zoom. We'll be doing Zoom tomorrow night. Okay. So I want to read you some scriptures. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about joy. Now, Pastor has a sermon that the Lord has been dealing with him all week. I cannot wait to hear him. Oh, I just love our pastor. I just truly honor him today. I'm so thankful that I get to see this with my eyes. You know, how God does him is truly an honor, truly. Anyway, so Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Romans 12:12, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." James 1:2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." John 16:24, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy will be made full." Proverbs 17:22, "A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Now, I've often said that when I pray for people when they have arthritis and stuff. A lot of times, I've learned from Dr. Morris that has to do with bitterness. You know, it dries up their bones. It just angry and bitter. So, anyways, all right, well, let's spend a few minutes in worship here.
I'm going to lead us in a time of worship as he is getting ready to bring the word. Okay. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Sing it with me, Brian. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my strength. And I will worship you with all of my heart. For you are my Lord. You are my as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. For you, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. You, O Lord, may my spirit yield. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days till we're gonna sing God's grace than when we first begun.
All right, Bride. We're going to go ahead and get Pastor on the line here. Good morning, sir. Good morning. Let me see. Good morning, sir. Good morning. It may be his internet over there. Hold on.
Hello.
All right, Pastor. Good morning, sir. Maybe. Good morning. Yes, sir. You've got the floor.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. Supposedly, the storm that we were supposed to get last night is supposed to come tonight. Now, I was just looking at the weather, which I don't pay much attention to, but we got a very overcast cloud skies, 66 degrees, supposed to get up into the high 70s, up to 76 or better, so it's really nice out, beside the sun shining, but anyway, praise the Lord, no storms here. Yeah, it's the end of March, already the 30th, and thinking of that, a scripture come to my mind, and I'm going to go to, I didn't give this to June this morning, but Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. I believe this is a speeding up of time, which shortens the days. And that reminds me some, gosh, had me over 12, 15 years ago, I was working painting in this house. And the electrician was in there, and He's like, man, that, you know, just doesn't seem like enough time in the days anymore. And boom, this verse popped up in my head, and I ran out, and I had my Bible in my van, and I took it in there, and I opened it up to here, and I read this to him, and he's like looking over my shoulder, and he's like, wow. And I said, see? This is why there's not enough time in the day anymore. God has shortened the days. He's speeded up time. So anyway, that scripture come to me, and I believe it's, you know, the days are shorter. God's speeding up time, and it goes faster and faster before his return. Praise the Lord. And then I didn't have this scripture written down either, but it come to me because of things going on in the world right now. And Daniel chapter 6. And, you know, this is about Daniel in the lion's den. And the lions didn't, you know, when the king threw him in the den, they didn't even bother him and stuff. And then the king's like, wow, he's freaking out, you know. And so this is what he says. He says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Woo! Amen. I wonder how many men today fear before the God of Daniel, to fear before the great God, the I am God, you know. And then it says, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall be destroyed, shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Whew! Ain't that awesome? And so today I was going to talk about that a little bit. And again, I didn't even have this. It just come up to me right here when June was talking. But we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So anyway, praise the Lord for that. We're just going to get right into this here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. And this Matthew 6, you know, is, you know, the first part about it is Jesus is teaching about almsgiving, and then he's teaching on prayer, which we get the Lord's Prayer, you know. And then he's teaching on fasting and the treasures of heaven and the light of the body. And this morning when I was going over my notes here quick, and this two verses stuck out at me. And so I'm just going to read that. And it's not my main scripture, but I just, it's like, wow, I had this highlighted. And so I want to read this. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, we're living in such a time that, you know, the darkness is great out there, you know, and we need God's word in us more and more, you know. It, you know, God is love and he is the light, you know. We need that light in us, you know. But I just thought that was an interesting scripture. But so anyway, Matthew 6, verse 33. And Matthew 6, verses 24 through four is about trusting one master. Okay? But in verse 33 it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, all these things shall be added unto you. You know, what's all these things? We'll that a little bit later. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're going to turn back here. I just want to go to 1 Corinthians quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's see here. Where was that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Seven, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is talking about the end of chapter 15, about the spiritual body, you know. And I'm not going to read all this, but it's so awesome. Everybody else, you know, write that down and read the last half of this chapter to get where I'm going with this here. And it's about putting on the corruptible body or the incorruptible. And verse 54. Let me think here. And let's go to. I was telling June this morning that, you know, I find these scriptures and it's just like all of a sudden I'm reading the whole chapter and it's like, wow, you know, and then I get carried away. But I'm trying to see where I want to start here. Okay. Verse 49, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. There's that word, behold. I show you a mystery. You know, a secret. Things that hasn't been shown before. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In reference about that, he's talking about, comes from Isaiah 25:8. Make note of that. It's some awesome scriptures. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And that's a question. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just thank you right now that we all have our victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto us, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your word, the light of your word, the truth of your word. Amen. You know, this is interesting here in these scriptures. Oh, death is swallowed up in victory. I mean, look here, you know, Paul, see, he was already seeking the kingdom of God above all else, even in the face of punishment by imprisonment. and death. You know, the threat undoubtedly, you know, scared him. But his love for Jesus and his brethren overpowered that fear. Love compelled Paul. Not, you know, in our quiet time with the Lord, and I know I try and do this a lot, is just, you know, ponder about God's love. You know, find scriptures on his love, because it says God is love. You know, love, you know, overpowers that fear. So many people are living in fear and anxiety and everything about the times that we're living in. You know, like Paul here, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? No. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, you know, that love that compels us, you know, not fear. You know, we need, you know, we join Jesus in this pain, you know, this painful world, as Paul too. You know, they both, when they were here, it was a painful world, and it is even for the Lord guiding you, you know, and others above everything else. Even when doing so includes suffering, injury, and loss, and maybe even death. You know, we turn to you don't have to turn there now, but Matthew 22 verses 34-40. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. What does that mean? It's the most important commandment. And second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, the Old Testament teachings, you know. So, love, Lord, we just thank you for your love that is shed abroad in our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And the scriptures here that I mentioned, death is sweet. And then also, well, I'm just going to turn back there quickly. Isaiah 25. And I hope everybody will take note of these scriptures, because Isaiah 25. Here it is. And then I'm going to read this here. Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 25 is about the song of praise. This chapter 25, and then even chapter 26, it's a hymn of praise. And I've got these two chapters highlighted on. All over from years past, going back to him, you know, because they're just seven, and he healed people. And the veil that is spread over all nations, we're going to talk about that veil. And he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God shall wipe away tears from off all the faces the earth spoken it. Wow. And I just want to read further down, but I'm for time's sake, I'm not. So make note of this chapter in Isaiah 25, and then 26 6 2. There's just so many awesome here. You know, I'm going to chapter 26, Isaiah, verse 3. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, I want to stop there a minute, because I ponder and I meditate and I just pray so much for peace. You know, the peace, Philippians 4:7, that the peace of God, in order right now that for each person here today, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard over a heart whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Verse 4, trust ye, he's our provider, is everlasting strength. You know, true peace comes from our provider, Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. You know, so this, and if you read the rest of this chapter, it's so good, you know, and it's for those people who seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's some awesome scriptures. You know, keep your finger on that Matthew 6 and 7, but Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. You know, this is a fisherman, okay? You know, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, okay? And it says in verse 15, this is Jesus, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, believe the gospel. You know, and when it says the time is fulfilled, the time is, and Jesus is that Messiah, amen. You know, this is the time, God's time for fulfilling his promise and plan. 7:4-5, and there's even more about the prophesied Messiah is fulfilled. Now he's saying, hey, the time is fulfilled. Here I am. You know, it's like Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs. Jesus is the door. You know, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, through Jesus, you know, well, let's go down to another scripture. Psalm 23:1. The Lord, you know, in Psalm 23:1, when it says the Lord, that's all capitalized letters. And so, Old Testament, and I was sharing this with June, but when it says Lord and it's all capitalized, I believe that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in God, not one. God shall supply all your need.
Hey, Pastor.
My shepherd, I shall not want, you know, he's going to supply all our needs. We have to trust
Pastor.
In him, just like, you know.
Hello, Pastor.
About trust, you know, we trust the Lord. Yes.
I'm gonna pause here a minute because you're breaking up real bad. The internet. I just want to tell everybody that we have extremely clouded skies here today, so it's probably messing with the internet. But just remember that this is the last day, so I just want to thank you guys for your grace. So just let the Spirit lead you with putting it all together. All right, Pastor, go ahead.
Okay. I don't know if you can hear me. I know you're skipping it out so much I can't understand. So I don't know. What do you want to do? I know when you talk. You skip it out. I can't even understand.
Well, no worries. Just go ahead, Papa. I was just telling them that the internet is so bad because of the storms and stuff, the satellite, to just ask the Lord to fill in the blanks. So go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't know what you even.
Go ahead, Pastor.
All right. Well, I guess if I'm skipping in and out so much, it's I don't know if we should even carry on, but I guess I will. Where was I? Okay.
They're all telling you to keep going.
Okay. So the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Isaiah, let's just turn it. Isaiah is so awesome. Through 11, I got Isaiah 4. No, it's about comfort through the trusting in the Lord. You know, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is a comforter's hand double for her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, wait, shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withered and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Woo! Amen. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift up, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the seas of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with the strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And he shall feed his flock like the shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Wow. I just need to, you know, you just need to read all of Isaiah 40. It's so good. You know, the next half is about the majesty of the Lord. And the very last verse, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's our God. You know, we need to wait on the Lord. We need to what? Seek the kingdom of God, you know? It's just so, it's Mark 1. You know, Mark is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel, and the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, Jesus knew, you know, he was to be sacrificed at the cross, and that time was very near. So that's what I believe, is the kingdom of God is at hand. To, you know, to do what? To deliver us from the curse. Galatians 3, you know, Matthew 20, 28. To reconcile God to man. Romans 5, 10. And there's so much more, you know. And all the kingdom of God is. When that time is fulfilled at the cross, or, you know, when that time was fulfilled at the cross, when the veil is torn into, you know, was split right down the middle, you know, Matthew 27:51, Luke 23:45, verse 47, read about that. You know, the time it was fulfilled, when that veil was torn in two, Jesus is the door. The barrier between God and us was opened. Woo! The way was made. That's the fulfilling. That is when, that's what in him means. You know, it's the Old Testament. The only way to God was behind the veil, okay, at the tabernacle. Jesus, the new covenant, has fulfilled the old covenant. Jesus tore down that old temple sacrifices for sin, and now comes in unto who opens the door. You know, let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, there's that word, behold, I stand at the door, and not the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. You know, that when that curtain was ripped down the middle. That's opening up the way. You know, Jesus is standing at the door. You know, he's made the way. That now the old covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, you know, was a sacred gold-covered wood chest that housed the Ten Commandments and other sacred relics symbolizing God's presence. And, you know, you can do study on that, and it tells you more about that, what they put in there. And I'm not going to get into that, but this Ark of the Covenant serving as a central focus of the Israelites' worship. It was placed in the Holy of Holies, the most sacred area of the tabernacle, later to the temple. Now, under the new covenant, you know, when that was split down the middle, we are the temple. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Thought I had it marked here. Nope, there it is. Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1 is, you know, Paul's praying for spiritual wisdom in the first part of it. And then it's talking about the church, its head, Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus is our, you know, the head of the church. And we have been, let's see here where I want to go. Back to, Colossians 1. And the last part of it is about reconciliation in Christ. We've been reconciled. And I want to start, we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. And that word preeminence means standing out above all others, superior to all others. Whew. Amen. That's our Lord Jesus. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they're things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Wow. I want to read that again. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, and I'm going to stop right there, and you, just put your name there, that were, you know, before you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet hath he reconciled. Wow. Let's just stop a minute and give the Lord thanks. Father God, we just thank you for what Jesus did on that cross for us. We thank you for his shed blood on that cross, Lord. That blood redeems us from the powers of darkness, from sin, sickness, disease, calamity. All the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against each one of us now. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So we just thank you, Father. We thank you that we have made peace through the blood of his cross. Wow. That peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, just meditate at night when you're in your quiet time, that peace. That peace and that joy. Because that's what leads us. That's what guides us, is his peace. Amen. And it's interesting here. If we go down a little further, let me think here. Let's go to verse 23. If, there's that big word, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which ye have preached to, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Whew. Thank you, Lord. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ in you. Mystery, you know, that refers to the, you know, in verse 27, the mystery refers to the revelation of God's plan of salvation, which includes the indwelling of Christ in believers. When that veil was torn, Christ in you emphasized that Christ is not just a disfigure, but dwells within those who believe, transforming them and giving them a new life. How many of you out there right now can remember that time when you give your life to the Lord? That transforming. The presence of Christ in us is the source of our hope. A hope that extends to the future glory that awaits us in heaven. Hallelujah. This verse highlights the profound and transformative power and nature of faith in Christ. It emphasized that believers are not simply followers, but living vessels of his presence and hope. And I just say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm encouraging everybody again, write down Colossians 3. You know, chapter 3. You know, read through this chapter 1, go to chapter 2, and read chapter 3. Because chapter 3 is about the new life in Christ. It's about the Christian virtues. You know, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and place our faith in Him, you know, something drastically should change our lives. Christ is now actually living in us. Wow. Turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And let's go to verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, no flesh will be cleared of guilt. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. I live by faith. Just put your name there. I, Dennis Weir, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Just put your name in there. Amen. I do not frustrate the grace of God, verse 21, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Righteousness. We're going to be talking about that here in a minute. And I'm not going to read all this, but in Galatians chapter 3, the first verse, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? And just a while back, I went about and talked about, did a message about bewitched. And I'm going to say here now, I believe most of the church has been bewitched. They're following a false Jesus. They're being led astray. And if you follow this ministry, you'll know where it's coming from. And right here, very clear. You know, there's a bewitching going on. You know, Jesus is the only way. Christ in you is our hope of glory. It's not in any man. because no man can save this world. You know, so like Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous. Righteous. That means that which is upright. And here, you know, in Matthew 6:33, it says, what, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means uprightness with God. And that righteousness, the righteousness of God has been imputed unto us by our advocate. It says right here, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know, there's nothing we can do. It's his righteousness. It's been, you know, by that shed blood, it's been imputed unto us by our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know, Philippians chapter 3:8-9, it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's telling us to seek Jesus. Woo! He's the righteous one. You know, not only has righteousness or uprightness with God been imputed unto us who are in Christ through faith, this righteousness, and we're not going to go to these scriptures, but this righteousness was created. Ephesians 4:24. I'm going to read through these three if you want to write these down. It's legal. Philippians 3:6. We're talking about this righteousness. It's personal. Philippians 3:9. Is or can be experimental. Hebrews 5:13. And when I read that, I'd be like, wow, I never seen it that way. It's actual, Hebrews 11:33. It's real, his righteousness. It's real, 1 John 2:29. And the righteousness of Christ is the believers, Jeremiah 33:16. The righteousness of Christ, it loves, Hebrews 1:9. The righteousness of Christ judges, Isaiah 11:4, the righteousness of Christ is girded. Isaiah 11:5, the righteousness of Christ brings in. Isaiah 46:13, the righteousness of Christ fulfills all. Matthew 3:15, it confers upon believers, Isaiah 66:10. Wow, I say. You know, when I was looking at this and looking up these scriptures, and again, I'm not reading them all because there's so many, but, you know, you just have to ponder. You just got to, wow. When you read these and ponder, you get understanding of the truth of God's word, you know. Then we can defend the truth of God's word because we apply this truth, hopefully, in our lives. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Maybe that's why in 2 Timothy 2, 2:15 says, study to show, be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, this is emphasizing diligent study and accurate handling of God's word. You know, to be a faithful, effective servant. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. And all these things shall be added to Jesus the righteous, 1 John 2:1. And when we think of that, when all these things shall be added unto you, it's trust of Matthew 6:33, but it's trusting one master to meet all your needs. Matthew 6:8. Matthew 6:31-13. Psalm 139:4. Hebrews 4:13. Romans 8:16. There's some scriptures that, you know, we need to ponder, you know, to trust one master, to trust Jesus the righteous. You know, not trust in any man, not trust in man's systems of this world, because they're flawed. They're twisted. It's Jesus. It's God's word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, Jesus, he is the propitiation for sins. 1 John 2:2. Let's read that. Let's read that verse 1 again. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Wow. You know, this propitiation, if I'm pronouncing that right, and kind of got twisted tongue here, is the divine side of the work of Christ on the cross. Christ's atoning death for the world's sin. It's what the Lord became for the sinner. Not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I've done this before, you know, when I come to this verse and when I come to that word, you know, I looked that up in my Bible dictionary, and we could do a whole message just on that one word. It's pretty powerful. It's pretty awesome what Jesus did for us on that cross. you know. And it is Mark 1:15. In Jesus' word, man. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It's repentance. You know, we all need to repent daily sometimes of things we have said or done or whatever, you know. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I will come into him and sup with him and her, and he with me. No, the Lord is standing at the door and knocking now. And it's interesting, you know, when you see pictures of that where the Lord is standing at the door and knocking. I got a really good one. You know, there's only a doorknob on one side. And it's the side where we stand. We have to open that door. Can be opened. We just have to invite Jesus in. He's standing there knocking at the door of our heart. You are us, Father, by the cross, by that torn veil, what Jesus did for us. And there's so much to that. That's why we need to study the word. We need to read the word. We need to ponder on your word, Father God. So I just ask right now, Lord, that you would give us the unction, Lord, to do that more, to stand, you know, in Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. You know, we need to pray to be accounted worthy. So we just thank you, Father God, right now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this message, Lord. We thank you that we would have that unction to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And all these other things will be added unto us. And we all have needs, whatever it be. It can be spiritual needs. It may need to be, this anxiety needs to be torn down. Fear, sickness, disease, calamity, the list goes on and on. But all these things can be, you know, Jesus can take care of them. He can just, you know, he's all in all for us. It's all been fulfilled at the cross. So we just thank you, Father God. We just thank you for your word. And Father, I ask that you'd pour out your spirit, Lord. Your word. Verse 17. Lord, we just ask that you pour out that spirit. Set us free from whatever it is that draws us, pulling us away from you. Sin, sickness, disease, calamity, all the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against us. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray right now for our families also, Lord. I ask that you would bless each family here, their children, their grandchildren, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon them, Lord. Give them a little nudge, an unction from your spirit, Father, that draws them closer to you, that they would seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. So we just thank you, Father, and praise you, and give you all the glory and honor and praise through Christ Jesus. And amen. And amen. Well, I hope everybody will have a good day. And I hope the internet wasn't. Next week, hopefully, it'll be better. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. I tell you what, I got to expound on something that you brought up that was so powerful. How did you get it that there was a doorknob on one side? Was that just from the Spirit? That was so cool.
I don't know what you're saying. It cuts in and out so much. I hope
hey,
that
on.
Ain't the way I sound.
Can you hear me better here?
Can you hear me better here?
I think so. Keep talking.
Okay, I was saying. How did you get that about the doorknob being on one side?
How did I get that?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. When I was looking at that picture, you know, I seen that, and I was like, you know, and this again, it goes way back some years. I'll have to dig that photo out. I've got it stashed in one of my boxes with all my notebooks and stuff. But I mean, just think about that. You know, he opened a way for us. It's just we have to open the door to him. I just always thought that was so interesting. You know that. You know, he invites,
it is,
you know, we have to.
Powerful, thank you. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and mute you, Pastor, so that way we're not conflicting there. But yeah, that was really cool about the one-sided doorknob, because when I was a little girl, that's the scripture I got saved on, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone would open that door, I will come into him, sup with him, and he with me. Well, this is why I believe as far as the mark of the beast, it cannot happen without your permission. So, you know, the devil is a legalist. He wants you to open that door. And you think about, you know, the way the Bible talks about sin. Sin crouches at the door. It's like an entity that wants in, and we have to open that door. It's the same with the mark of the beast, you know. And if you've noticed, in the New Testament, it spends the majority of the New Testament warning us about deception. So this is how the enemy's bringing in the mark of the beast, is through deception. This is why Pastor's sermon today is so powerful, because he's encouraging us that, you know, the kingdom of God is within, you know, and everywhere we go, we're carrying the kingdom. You know, I've talked to you guys about how to minister to people, and I'm sure Denise could, you know, really collaborate with me on this, but whenever you are out and about and you're ministering, God will bring people to you because you carry him. You have the Ark of the Covenant on the inside of you now. And you represent the kingdom. You have the answer to everybody's problem. So when God brings them to you, it's not that you have the solution. You may not know how to fix their problem, but the kingdom does. And that's what you carry. That's who you are. So you go to the king. You tell him, Lord, you brought this person before my face. The kingdom of God has come unto them. So thus, that means you have the solution. So what we're doing as your ambassador and the carrier of the ark, we are coming in agreement with heaven that this person, there's a colliding going on right now because the person is now standing before the king. What happens when you stand before the king? He renders a verdict. So you as the lawyer, basically, you are the one fighting on their behalf. How? Because you're praying. You are coming in agreement. This is why you declare out of your mouth and you speak God's will. So, like I told you about that woman that I was praying for in Newark, Pennsylvania, that was out of her mind on drugs. God stopped my tour just to minister to that woman in her condition, the way she was. Because he loves her. All I had to do is the kingdom, as the ambassador that carries the kingdom, carries the ark, the temple, is that this lost soul, God's attention is focused on her. And so when I was able to be with her and touch her as a point of contact, I'm able to partner with heaven that all of these chains that are blocking this soul from being what God wants her to be is now going to be broken because God's here. When the Ark of the Covenant was around, you know, people died if they handled that thing wrong. I mean, if we really only knew the power that we have in the Ark of the Covenant that's on the inside of us, it probably, you know, we don't operate nearly in the power that we know we have. But what you do is you have the answer. The answer is Jesus. So anytime people come around you and they start talking about their problems, just know God loves them. God is bringing this to your attention because he wants you to bring the answer to them, and that's Jesus. See, these people out here, they've been blinded by the devil. They're believing the lies. And so you just partner with heaven. You break every chain. You break every yoke in the spirit. You know, because you're touching them and you're saying, God, I'm in agreement with heaven. Like, let's go back to this girl that God brought to me in Newark, Pennsylvania. I'm in agreement with heaven that you love this woman and that all the things that the enemy has done to her to destroy her life has to stop now. Your plans, your plots against this woman, they're all done. You have no more effectiveness over her. God is now, she has his attention, the king. So his verdict's coming down. So all you devils that's wrapped around this woman like a Luciferian stronghold, you know, Leviathan, you got to come down. Because God says this woman is free. So the kingdom of heaven shall be done in this woman, the kingdom of God. So all you lying devils, you got to bow down to the king. You know, you're his ambassador. And so that's what I did for that woman. She was crying. I was telling her, I said, ma'am, God stopped my tour to tell you how much he loves you. He's not done with you yet. That devil's been lying to you. So we will not agree with him anymore. See, that's that power of agreement. So anyway, when pastor's talking to us about, you know, what are we seeking? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, you know. And I pray for all of us, you know, like when we do our fast this week, those 3 days, you know, that we really be seeking God. There'll be no news or anything. And but we will be seeking God. We want to be used as an ambassador of God more than we ever have. I mean, the demons that have been released in this hour, the evil that's being released in this hour is just beyond belief. You know, our minds can't even hardly believe all the evil we're looking at right now. You know, But God has a plan. I mean, God has a people. Even if it is just a few, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, at least it's somebody, you know. And if we can look up into heaven and say, God, you know, why not me? I mean, why not? You know, you chose Daniel, you chose David, you chose Esther, you know, you chose me too, you know, so use me for your glory, Lord, in all my flaws, in all my past, and in all my mess. I give it all to you. I'm laying it all down to the foot of the cross because you can take this mess like David when he killed that woman's husband. What a mess that was, you know? So if you can turn David's life around, you can turn ours around. And I've been thinking about this, you know, with their plans to really trash us. And when I was listening to that minister talking, when he was teaching people how to manipulate other people, that's witchcraft. I'm going to show you guys. I may ask Pastor if I can do news this evening because I want to deal with this about Elon. But anyway, when these people are lying and telling these people to be manipulative and trick others so that they can be turned into the beast, that's just the devil, you know. But this is why we need to come together in this 3-day fast, because we're up against some serious, you know, serious stuff, and we need the army of God with us. We need God's presence. And, you know, so I'm really looking forward to it. I love you guys, and I would like to take an offering right now. Thank you to Miss Carla. Reminds me every week, I keep forgetting. Okay, Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Honor the Lord. This requires giving proper weight to your wealth by using it only for righteous, just, and equitable purposes. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, which begins with offering the first fruits of everything to the Lord. That's tithing. To give the first fruits is to imply that the whole belongs to God. Indeed, the whole worshiper. You know what else would help y'all in the Bible college about your final exam that's due next week about Jesus in the tabernacle? Think about this one, talking about the first fruits. Jesus was God's first fruit. Is that not His Son? He gave us His first fruit. When we give God our first fruits of our money, and we trust God with what to do with it, we're honoring Him for how He is ministering to us and the people that He's using to minister to us. It's just the first fruits. God waters that and He blesses that. You know, my mother, whenever she was alive, I told y'all guys, when she got saved, she was an alcoholic and she was living with this very wealthy man. I mean, he used to take her in the motorhome and she drove a Lincoln. You remember back when the Lincolns was really popular? But when she got saved, she left him. She kept telling him, if I ever get saved, I'm leaving you, because they used to drink all the time. And when she left, he missed his aunt, you know, his hard worker. And so he come back to her and he told her, he said, if you'll come back to me, you know, I need you to come back to work for me, move back in with me. He said, I will marry you, but you just have to give up your religion. So she looks at him and says, forget you. So then he come back the next week. Now, in the meantime, God is telling her all the time, do not be unequally yoked. But he was a very wealthy man. Okay, so he come back the next week. He's like, I'll marry you, but we have to go to a Baptist. I'm not going to put up with you being Pentecostal. I don't want to be a part of that. She goes, nope, hit the road. So he was gone. God, we go to church. God says, I said, do not be unequally yoked, woman. It was like he sat down with her at a table every week and said, do not be unequally yoked. So then he comes back and he says, I'll marry you no matter what. I just want to marry you. So she goes to my pastor. Now, the pastor asked her, said, who is this trying to marry you? And she told him, and he was the wealthiest man in town. He said, marry him. She told me that the pastor gave her permission to marry him. I was like, what? After God is sitting here for weeks telling you not to, do not do it, Mom. Well, she goes and marries him. It was hell from the time she got married. It was a trap from the pits of hell. He put her in the dungeon. We called it the dungeon. He put her downstairs of his little mansion. And she was not allowed to have her family over. She could not see her grandkids. She got no money. He cut off all money. But he made her work for him. She could not have prayer meetings or listen to anything gospel in the house. I mean, it was just a trap from hell. So she lived like that for 3 years. And then finally she got enough courage to leave. And so she left and never married again. And she always said, because she lived 30 years after that, and she served the Lord with all her heart and always tithed. And she said, I know God will take care of me. Till the day she died, she never went without. He always took care of her. He was her husband. But she always gave him the credit because she tithed. She gave him her first fruits. Isn't that beautiful? All right, guys. So I will talk to you guys later. And I pray you have a wonderful day. And I will let you know soon if I'm going to go live later. Okay? So y'all have a blessed day. May God richly bless you.